Matthew chapter 6, we'll read verses 19 to 34. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the field, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God doth so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith all shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Thank you, Father, for your word, the Holy Scriptures, and that you have given to us these words that we might be instructed in your ways, that we might know them and walk in them, that it might be pleasing to you, and that it might be beneficial to us. Teach us, we pray, to trust you and obey that which you say, knowing the love wherewith you have said it. In Jesus' name, amen. The right to worry. Previously in the Sermon on the Mount, back in chapter 5, verse 5, the Lord Jesus had said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, meekness is the opposite of anger. Anger is when my rights have been violated. And this happens when someone violates a right in our lives, then the temptation is to become angry. You come back from shopping, and you walk down the aisle of the cars there in the parking lot of the mall, and you finally find your car, and there you find a great big dent in the side of the door where somebody backed into you and took off and didn't leave their name. And you look at that door, and the temptation is to become a little bit angry because somebody has violated your right to be able to park your car there and not have somebody back into it and dent it for you. Or at least if they did that, to leave their name so that their insurance company could fix it for you. And so anger is over rights that have been violated. Now, some people don't have as much trouble with anger as others, at least apparently. But many times those that don't have as much trouble with anger have trouble with worry. Some people that never seem to get angry are always worried to death. Now, anger is over rights that have been violated. Worry is over rights that we think might be violated. And that's why if you have gone on vacation and you've driven your several hundred miles and you've gotten to your destination and you happen to think to ask your wife, now, did you lock the door before you left the house? And she said, well, I went out the front door. Oh, he said, I left the back door open for you. You went out the front door, yes, and I locked it behind me. But I left the back door open for you. You mean the back door standing wide open, just the screen door there? And you worry all night because you're sure somebody's going to find that back door open until you can find somebody to go close it for you. And so you worry because you think somebody's going to violate your rights and go in and take all your things, and you've lost them. And so there are these two kinds of reaction to our rights. We have a right that people respect our possessions. And some people have more trouble worrying about what might happen, and other people have more trouble getting angry about what did happen. But we all seem to have inclinations along that line of being concerned about our rights. And so anger and worry are both over rights. And the perhaps one of the key areas of rights is that of ownership, the right to our possessions. And here in this portion of Scripture, the Lord Jesus deals with this. You remember here he's preparing his disciples to serve him. They're going to go out and preach the gospel. And so he's preparing them for the kind of life that they need to live as they go out and preach the gospel that he is giving to them to preach. And so here in this portion of Scripture, after dealing in the first half of the chapter with hypocrisy, because as he was sending them out to preach, he didn't want them to be hypocrites, then in the second part of the chapter here, he deals with their possessions and the danger, if they don't handle their possessions properly, that they could become either very angry or very worried. And he wants to deliver them from anger and from worry, and so he tells them how to handle their possessions as they consider their testimony for him. And first of all, we find that he tells them in verses 19 to 24, don't worry about what you have. Don't worry about all those things that you have. And he tells them how to accomplish that. First of all, he says you can get over worrying about the things you have by putting them in a safe place. Now, that's the best thing to do. If you can put them in a safe place, then you don't have to worry about them. And so he says the safest place to put them is in heaven. Now, if you put them up in heaven, then you don't have to worry about them anymore. Because he says here on earth, first of all, you've got moth. Now, the moths can get into the closet and they can eat up your suits and your skirts and your coats. And so the solution, he says, is don't store all your suits and your coats in your closet. Store part of them in heaven. Because the ones up there won't get eaten with moths. And you don't have to worry about them then. And another thing we have problems down here with is rust. And so he says, so you won't have to worry about rust. Put your best car up in heaven. Because up there it won't rust. And you won't have to worry about it that way. And another problem we have is with thieves. They like to break through and steal. And what do the thieves steal? What's the first thing they go for as soon as they get inside your house? Well, they look for that color television. And so the secret is to store your color TV up in heaven and use your black and white down here. And that way, you don't have to worry about them stealing your color television. And so the solution in all these things is to take the best and put it up in heaven. And you don't have to worry because the moths won't eat it and the rust won't corrode it and the thieves won't break through and steal it. And you won't have any worries anymore. You say, all they got was my old black and white. There's no worry about what might happen. Or if they do come in and take off with the loot, there's no anger because they say they didn't get much anyway. And so that's the solution. And so the Lord Jesus says, put it in a safe place, send it up to heaven, and then you won't have to worry about it. Or if something does happen, you won't have to get angry about it. But, of course, we always do need something down here. And so the question is, what do you do about what you still have to have down here, you still need? Well, I guess it would be the same thing as the checkbook, you take your check to the bank and you deposit there, and you don't keep it all in the home. So also you send part of it up into heaven, but you have to have a little bit. But what do you do with that? Well, with what you keep, the things that you have to have and you have to use, what you do with those is you turn the title of those things over to God. And you put them all in God's name. And you say, now, Lord, these are the things I still have to have, but I'm going to give them to you. Now, these are yours. Now, this is a car I still have. I have to get around. So I give it to you, Lord. Now, this is your car. And these are the other things that I still have to have, so I give them to you, and they're yours. They're not mine anymore. They're yours. And so if anything happens to them, well, they belong to the Lord. Now, we all know that none of us worry about other people's things as much as we do about our own. And none of us get as angry about something that might happen to other people's things as we do about our own things. You know, the neighbor says, oh, they cleaned me out. You say, oh, that's too bad. But you know you don't feel as bad as if they cleaned you out. And so if it's all the Lord's, and they come and they clean it out, say, Lord, you didn't take very good care of your things. You know, they ran off with all of it. And so you might be concerned, says, Lord, now I need to get to work tomorrow, and so I do need some transportation. But it isn't near the problem with worrying about it or getting angry about it if it's his. And so you give it to him. And so send all the choice possessions on up into heaven, and the ones that you keep here, you give to the Lord and make him the owner of those things, and then that helps to deliver us from anger and from worry. And the Lord encourages us to do that. We read in the book of Exodus that as God sent the Israelites into the land of Canaan and gave them the land of Canaan, and they had all the possessions there, they just moved into houses that were full of things. The Canaanites were conquered and killed, and the Israelites just walked in and moved into the house. And the Lord said, I'm going to give you vineyards that you didn't plant and houses that you didn't build, and you're going to have all of these things. And so then in Exodus chapter 34, I'm sure the question came to the Israelites, when God said in Exodus chapter 34 and verse 23, three times a year shall all your men, children, appear before the Lord God, the God of Israel. And so God said, three times a year, all of your men are to go down to Jerusalem and gather together to worship me. And I'm sure the first thing that occurred to the Israelites was, you mean all of the men are going down to Jerusalem? Well, when our enemies hear about that, the nations round about, and they say, do you know that all of the men are down in Jerusalem worshiping God? They go down there three times a year. Oh, really? When's the next time they go down? Why, those nations round about, they'll come in and they'll clean us out. And God said, for I will cast out the nations before thee and enlarge thy borders. Neither shall any man desire thy land when thou shalt go up to appear before the Lord thy God thrice in the year. And so God says, now don't you worry about that. When you go up to worship me three times a year in Jerusalem, nobody's going to even desire what you have. And so God says, I'm going to take care of it for you. And so as we recognize that it's his and we leave it in his name, he will take care of it. And so the Lord here says to his disciples, don't worry about what you have. The first solution is put it in a safe place and turn the title over to me. Now, what this does then is this keeps our thoughts on God and our hearts in heaven, because the Lord Jesus says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And so as we put the best up there in heaven, then he says, our hearts will be up in heaven. We had an experience regarding that when we were down in South America as missionaries. A missionary couple came down to work with us, and they had been in a church here in the United States. He was a pastor, and they had their own home, and they had all their things. And so when they went to the mission field, they had to break up housekeeping here in the States. And she had a lot of nice china and silverware and draperies and just a lot of things that she really treasured. And she was sure she wouldn't want those things in her little mud hut down in Chile. You know, everybody thinks that missionaries live in mud huts. And so she packed all those things carefully away here in the States, and all of those treasures were here in the States. And down to Chile they came. And they got down there, and they found they weren't in a mud hut. And they had just a regular house. And for 4 years, she lived without drapes, without nice dishes, just some little things she'd gathered together. For 4 years, Chile was not her home. For 4 years, her heart was back up here in all these barrels, all these boxes and trunks up here where her good china and her good silver and her drapes and all those things were. She just was not at home. It wasn't her home. She lived in a house in Chile, but her home was still in the States. They came home on furlough. Next time down, she took it all with her. And Chile became her home because she had her things there. So home is where you got all the things you treasure. That's what changes a house into a home. You got the things you treasure. And so the Lord Jesus says, now if you put all those things that you treasure up in heaven, then that's where your heart is going to be. And that's where what you will be thinking about all the time. And so the Lord Jesus said he was going to go back and he was going to prepare a place for us. But that place up there is only a house. It's not a home unless you've got your treasures there. And that's what makes it a home, when all the choice possessions are there. That's what makes you homesick, because that's where the things are that you long for and desire. And so it helps us to keep our minds on God and our hearts in heaven. And not only that, the Lord Jesus says it will increase our spiritual discernment, verses 22 to 24. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. And he says you can't serve two masters. You can't serve God and mammon. And so this increases spiritual discernment. It gives us singleness of vision. In other words, you're not seeing double all the time. One eye on God and one eye on things. And Jesus says you can't do that. You can't serve God and mammon. You can't be looking at two things at the same time and seeing double. James says in James 1:8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And this double-mindedness then is what happens when we've got one eye on God and one eye on things. It produces a double-mindedness, and Jesus says it's important that we have a single-mindedness, a singleness of vision, if we're going to walk pleasing to the Lord. They tell me, I don't know, I've never been a tightrope walker, but they tell me that a tightrope walker fixes his vision on some immovable object straight ahead. And so when he's walking on that rope, he's not looking down at his feet to make sure he's stepping on the rope. And he's walking on that rope, he's looking right straight ahead at some immovable object right ahead. Because everything else is moving. He's moving, the rope's moving, his balance beam is moving, everything's moving. And he's going to get dizzy and fall if he doesn't have his eye on one immovable object straight ahead. And so we need to have a singleness of vision. And God doesn't move, and so we need our vision fixed firmly upon him. And the result then is we will have a singleness of vision, and that we will be filled with light. In other words, we will see all kinds of spiritual truths. We will have all kinds of spiritual values made clear to us. And we will see spiritual decisions very clearly as we have a singleness of vision, because you cannot serve God and mammon. And so Jesus said to his disciples, the first thing is, don't worry about what you have. Well, the next problem then is worrying about what you don't have. That's kind of hard today. We live in an affluent society, and in this affluent society, there isn't much that we don't have. In fact, they have to keep thinking up all the time of special gifts for the man who has everything, and I suppose for the woman who has everything, because there isn't much that we don't have. But Jesus says to his disciples, don't worry about what you don't have. Today, if we don't have it, we don't worry about it. We just take our charge card and go out and get it. But our economy is going today in such a way that it's going to be more and more difficult to be able to do that and meet all of our wants all of the time. Now, Jesus said to his disciples, God knows your needs and he will provide. And so, don't worry about the things that you don't have. God will provide your needs. He knows your needs and he will provide them. And notice how the Lord Jesus here talks about the basic needs. Verse 25, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. And so we have some very basic needs here, that which we eat and drink and wear. These are not luxuries, these are basic needs. And Jesus said, don't worry about these things. Don't be concerned about these things. Don't try to keep up with the Joneses. One man said, he says, I quit trying to keep up with the Joneses. He says, because I am the Joneses. He'd gotten way ahead. But the Lord Jesus says, don't worry about these things, because God knows what your needs are, and he is able to provide those needs. He gives the examples here of the birds. He said, have you ever seen a bird that worried about his next meal? God provides for the birds. The lilies of the field, they grow and out there in the wilderness, and nobody around even, and they grow up. And the Lord clothes them in such a marvelous way, with such beauty. God is able to take care of all of our needs. And he says, no, it's true, unbelievers worry about these things. All these things do the Gentiles seek. People that don't know God are going to worry about these things. But people that know God don't have to worry about these things, because God is a faithful provider of all of our needs. And so he says, don't worry about these things. But he said, if you really want to worry, be concerned. I'll tell you something you can be concerned about. Be concerned about spiritual needs. That's what we need to be concerned about, is about spiritual needs. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. In other words, be concerned about the kingdom of God, about God being the king of your life. That's something to be concerned about. That's something to really put your efforts toward, about God being the king in every area of your life. And his righteousness, his character, his nature being developed in your character. You know, a lot of times there's concern that, oh, there's a shortage of fuel, and or there's a shortage of some commodity. And what the Lord Jesus says is, don't worry about those kinds of shortages. You know, the kinds of shortages we really need to worry about and be concerned about are, what about the shortage of meekness and the shortage of goodness and gentleness and faith? And what about all those things? Do we ever get concerned about the shortages of spiritual things in our lives? These are the things to be concerned about. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, him being king in your life, and his righteousness, these qualities of the divine character being abundant in our lives. And then he says, all of these other things will be added to you. All these things that otherwise you would need to worry about, your food and clothing and so forth, all of these things will be added. You know, actually, for God to clothe me in a purple robe or something like that, a kingly attire, would be no problem at all. You know, God can do something like that so easily. But for God to clothe me in meekness, that's a big job. And so Jesus said, that's where your concern needs to be. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these other things will be added to you. They're not really the things of concern. And so he says, don't worry about what you have, and don't worry about what you don't have. And he concludes by saying, don't worry about tomorrow. What might come tomorrow? That what you have, you might lose it, or what you don't have, you might not get it. Because all of these things are a failure to turn everything over to God. all that we have to Him, and commit ourselves to Him. Worry and anger are both failure to give everything over to God. And so we turn our rights over to God, and we receive freedom from worry and from anger, and He gives us a singleness of vision, and we see spiritual truth in new ways. And so, blessed are the meek. The meek, those who refuse to worry or become angry about things. But they turn the title of everything over to God. And you know what happens? Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. What God does is He turns the title right back over to them. Send on ahead what you don't need. Title over what you keep here. And the result will be freedom from anger and worry. God says He'll title up into heaven everything you title over to Him down here. And it frees you from anger and from worry. And not only that, but everything that He has here, you have the use of it without having the problem of the ownership of it. And so send on ahead what you don't need and title over what you keep here. And the Lord Jesus says, you'll be free from anger and worry, and this will be a tremendous asset to you as you serve Me, because you will have spiritual insight that you will gain in no other way. Father, we thank You for the instructions of Scripture, and we confess that these ways are not our ways. We tend to grasp all we can get. We tend to consider it to be our own, and as a result, not being able to serve God and mammon, we are double-minded and unstable in all our ways. Thank You, Father, for the instruction You give us here, and we pray that You would help us to learn how to send on up to heaven and our treasures, that they might be there and that our hearts might be there. Help us to learn how to title over to You everything that we have here, that we might not have the concern of it. We can just have the use of it. We take care of it because it belongs to You. But if things beyond our power affect them, then it's not our concern. It's Your concern. And so we pray that You would teach us these marvelous provisions that You've made to deliver us from anger and from worry, that we might then be able to concentrate on spiritual things, and that of making sure that You are the King, the Lord of every aspect of our lives, and making sure that we are growing in Your righteousness, and we're not running on a shortage of meekness and self-control and patience and these things that are pleasing to You in our lives, but that we might be able to concentrate on serving You with all of our hearts. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen.